Hello and welcome to This Mum Is Tired.
This Mum Is Podcast with Newbie, keeping parenting real.
Hello, I'm Kate Cocker, and This Mum is the podcast for new mums who are raising the next generation while just trying to keep it all together. Every single episode I fill with love and with the intent that actually this can be really useful. And this episode is no different. This Mum Is Tired is about sleep. Now, I knew before I had babies that I would be struggling with sleep and that I would be tired. My mum used to tell me stories about how she once tried to breastfeed my dad's arm when we were very, very little because she was so tired she couldn't actually wake up to actually go and feed us as babies. So I knew I would be tired. But it's not until I had a baby and I was dealing with being up every couple of hours every night that I realised what tiredness really is. So in this episode, I went and hunted out two people that I want to help you. One, Dr. Neil Stanley is a sleep expert, and I wanted to know from him, how can you get the most sleep that you can, and how can you be functioning at a time when you are in sleep deprivation? You know, not sleeping at night, that kind of thing. What are the tips that he had to help you catch up on your sleep? And I sought out baby sleep consultant Abby Thompson. She's the founder of Baby Sound Asleep. And she has some great ideas for you in terms of getting baby to sleep. But actually, I thought the best place to start was with someone who is right in the thick of it. So I went to meet Catherine and her 8-month-old baby, Mina, and find out from her, what is it like when your baby just won't sleep? So I'm here with baby Mina, and this mum is Catherine. Catherine, welcome to the This Mum Is podcast.
Hello, thank you for welcoming me, or having me.
So is Mina a good sleeper?
No, she's never been. She wasn't too bad the first 3 months. She pretty much did what you'd expect. And then on, it just got worse and worse. So we have some nights where she might wake a couple of times, but most nights probably every hour.
Every hour?
On average, yeah.
So you're tired?
Yes.
What does tiredness do to you?
It makes you can't really think properly anymore. I think for me, the most thing it does, I can have days where I'm not very patient with her. I just want to get out so that, yeah, she can sit in the pram and I don't have to worry about playing with her. So it makes you just sometimes a bit, yeah, very emotional.
Yeah.
Which probably comes with having a baby anyway, but yeah, you just get more emotional and just think constantly about how you can get her to sleep so that I can sleep and get her to sleep in her cot so she doesn't have to sleep on me. So I just, sleep seems to just, yeah, define your whole life.
Give me an example of that. What's in your mind right now in terms of her sleep? So for today?
Yeah, for today it was like 2 nights we had a good night, last night was a bad night. No difference in the days. I'm at the moment just trying for her to get good naps during the day. So like today I've just been trying to be home that she can sleep well. She had a good sleep today at lunchtime. So I'm just hoping at the moment that she'll sleep well today. And it's just hope really at the moment. I don't really know what to do differently. She sleeps, has a good long nap. She sleeps bad. She has a short nap. She sleeps well, even though it should be the other way around. So there's just no, well, I haven't found a pattern with her yet. So.
Yeah. Say you have a sleep consultant in front of you. What's the current questions you want to ask?
Well, how can I get her to sleep better at night? But there's a few things. The self-settling, we're getting better with it during the day. I still have to be in the room with her. But my problem is in the evening, I can't get her to self-settle because she has reflux as well. So there is a bit of a, what might have disturbed her sleep at the beginning. But after her last bottle, we need to hold her for half an hour. So she always falls asleep on us. But all the evening routines I read is bottle before bedtime. So I'm thinking about how to change the evening routine by moving the bottle forward. But then it'll have an impact on the night again because the bottle was too early. But yeah, so how to best do that and change that routine. And again, how long to give it to actually see an impact, because we've tried it a month ago and it went the other way.
Oh, really?
And she was even worse.
And do you use a dummy or anything?
Yes. So that's the other one. It's really the dummy. She can actually put it in by herself again now, but she chooses when to or not to. And again, I've read that losing the dummy helps. Mm. But I've also had a lot of people that say it hasn't made a difference.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go through the battle of fighting it and then actually losing the one bit that calms her down when she is awake at night. So is that really something that helps?
All right, I'm going to leave it there because that's been absolutely brilliant. It's been lovely to meet you. And I am going to put some of your questions to Abby, who's the sleep consultant who's on the podcast after this. And we'll see if she can answer some of your questions.
Mm.
Now, Mina, will you go to sleep, please?
Not right now.
Not right now. She's walking around. She's
today is one
everything.
Of those days where I'm trying to get through with two naps. We'll see.
Gosh, it's so easy to relate to Katrin, isn't it? We've all been through that in one way, shape or form at some phase in our baby's lives. Have we had that period of time where we're not sure about what we're supposed to be doing? And that's the thing with sleep. It's filled with shoulds. It's the absolute should zone, isn't it? My baby should be getting X amount of sleep. My baby should be having this many hours on their own. My baby should be self-settling. My baby should be doing this. My baby should be doing that. It shouldn't have a dummy. I shouldn't be co-sleeping. I should be co-sleeping. There are so many different ways of doing things, and it's really easy to fall into the should zone. But once you hit the should zone, that's a really easy place to start feeling like you're not good enough, like you're failing, like you're not meeting those shoulds. So my next guest I brought in because I wanted to get some real expert advice, someone who does this all the time. And she is the first to say that your baby is your baby and your family is your family, and you have to work these things out in the best way that helps you get what it is that you want. But I wanted to ask someone who sees this sort of thing all the time to see if she had any tips that maybe would help Katrin in her situation and hopefully give you something that you can latch onto. But as I say, the stories are here for you to hear, the advice is here for you to hear, and it's up to you which bit of advice that you take. Let's go meet the sleep consultant. I'm here with baby sleep consultant from Baby Sound Asleep, founder of Baby Sound Asleep. This mum is Abby Thompson. Hello.
Hi.
So, we've just heard Katrin. What you got? We're looking at, what is it? She talks about dummies, she talks about naps, she talks about sleep. How do I get my baby to sleep, she said.
I think a lot of people's sleep problems are starting with a baby who's had reflux. It's so common. Because you have no option but to offer them the extra support that they need. Assuming that she has that under control now, which it sounds like she has, though she still holds baby up in the evening, which is really common. I think the issue is that baby now can't settle a sleep cycle, which is every 45 minutes and every hour and a half. So it's likely that baby's depending on mum to rock her, to give her the dummy, to feed her, something like that, every time she's moving through a sleep cycle, which is what we need to work on.
Right, so first of all, explain sleep cycle for me. What's that?
A sleep cycle is a natural rhythm in anybody's sleep. It becomes more pronounced around the four-month mark for babies, so you'll find that a lot of people say she slept great until she was 3 to 4 months, and then after that point, sleep cycle changes, and it stays the same right up until they're an adult. So that's when we need to work on positive sleep associations and being able to use the things around them themselves to get to sleep. So I use things like white noise and maybe a comforter, or teach them to put the dummy in themselves, even from a really young age, because that's what's helping them get back to sleep each time. Otherwise, you're in a situation like this where every 45 minutes to an hour and a half, you're having to help them.
And, okay, so the controversial thing is, do you leave them to cry?
For me, that's not the answer, because what you're going to do when, I mean, there's going to be lots of people who tell you we did cry it out and it works, and it does work. But what you're going to do when baby's teething or baby's ill and you need to be able to settle them and you've no tool or technique to do that. So you can't leave them to cry every time they wake. So I usually use techniques that I'm using to calm them down, but not till they're fast asleep. So I'll use things like going in and patting for short bursts until they're calm but not fast asleep, and then I'll come out. So actually what they're doing is falling asleep themselves, but I've been able to comfort them, because babies are going to need comfort, children need comfort, right, up until they're a lot older, even adults do. So we just need to encourage them at the same time to fall asleep by themselves.
Do adults have a similar sleep cycle, or is it just much longer?
No, it's very similar.
Oh, right, okay.
But we all know how to get back to sleep ourselves.
Yeah, right, okay. So we've got the comforters going. So what did you say? You said just some patting on?
I mean, it takes time to work up to that point. Okay. And there'll be people going, I couldn't just go in there and pat my baby and baby would calm and fall asleep. And I don't for a million years expect that that would be the case. But you... we need to get to a point where they find patting comforting. So do something really, really simple, like when they're having a feed and they're enjoying it, pat them. And then we move to a point where we might pat in arms until they're getting very sleepy and then put them down. And then you might be able to get to the point where you're patting in the cot and coming away. So it's really gradual. This isn't a technique that you're going to say it'll work in 48 hours and they're going to sleep through all night. This is about building in positive sleep associations for the long term, and it's going to take time.
So where do they get the negative sleep associations from?
Things like waking every 4 to 5 minutes, an hour and a half, and you're running straight in and you're popping a dummy in.
Right.
And then they've got that dummy each time and they can't put it back in themselves. So again, they'll wake in 4 to 5 minutes and you need to do the same. Or you might pick them up and rock them. Well, that's not something you can replicate in cot. And to put them back down after they've rocked, even if you just did it till they're calm, is a massive change, because you're then going back in the cot from being in arms. There's a lot of comfort surrounding rocking that isn't just in the cot, because you've got bodily contact. You're on mum or dad.
Yeah. When you're working with the children that you're working with, what's your primary aim? Is it a numbers game? Is it this baby has to get so many hours sleep? Or is it a holistic game, as in this baby has to be able to look after itself, if that makes sense? Or somewhere in between?
I'm just guiding you. This baby needs to have the ability to self-settle. Now, that might mean that they can, at the start, they might be able to only self-settle once in the day. And we build upon that, and then the stretches get longer. But babies are really funny in the way that they improve. So when you're trying to work positively on baby sleep, I always suggest that you look week to week rather than day to day, because what you might find is that we had a great nap yesterday and then the next day is terrible. But actually, if we look at last week compared to this week, did we have more good naps this week than we did last?
Right.
So we look at things from week to week. When we're looking at things like how quickly you were able to come out of the room when baby was sleepy and how long the sleep was, did you ever get past the 45-minute point? So you're looking at lots of different things in terms of improvement, not just how long they sleep. It's how quickly they got to sleep.
So when my two were very small, my theory always was, if I put them down asleep, there's only one way they can go, which is that they'll wake up. So I always used to try and put them down awake. So even if I'd fed, I'd kind of, you know, I've been known to go and stand on the porch because I knew the cold would wake them up before I put them down to bed. You know, it's that kind of thing. So are you a big advocate of making sure they go to bed awake?
Yeah, definitely go to bed awake if possible, because if we woke up somewhere where we weren't when we went to sleep, we'd all be quite surprised and scary. It's scary for a baby. You know, if they're in arms 1 minute and then they go and wake up and they find themselves on their own in a room in a cot, it's a shock.
I hadn't even thought of it like that before. So Katrin also asked about dummies.
Yeah, I don't have a big problem with dummies, and I wouldn't suggest at 8 months she looks at removing it at this point. Pre-6 months, I often suggest removing it because it's quite easy. After that, I just say, let's reduce it to only sleep time, so we've not got any future issues with speech and things like that. Hopefully they're not talking when they're in bed, so it's not a problem. But what I would say she should work on is not using it the second she goes in to settle. So try something else first. So I always say, set a goal. So do something like 4 to 5 minutes of some kind of settling, be it patting or something like that, in arms or in the cot, and then try the dummy. Don't make it your first port of call, because that's only reinforcing the sleep issue that you've got.
It's that instinct of wanting to help straight away, but actually the short-term instinct doesn't benefit the long-term.
Exactly. But yeah, this is, you know, short-term harder work for a long-term big difference.
Going back to Catherine's audio again, I could hear in her voice, and when I met her, it's that feeling of being at wit's end. And when you're a new mum, sleep just becomes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all they talk about all the time. We go to groups and they're like, well, how much sleep did you get last night? And it becomes a bit of a competition, either how little sleep you had or if your baby's sleeping through. It's something that I don't think you think about when you're pregnant.
No.
Just, you know, people tell you you'll be up every 3 hours feeding in the night, and you think, well, I can do that. It's only short term. And you just assume that it's going to get better from that point. And it's just not the same for everyone.
What are the common things that you come across, or the common issues that you come across?
A lot of them is virtually always the 45-minute, hour and a half point post 4 months, which is nearly always that they're doing something like rocking, dummy use, feeding things in excessive use, really, and not encouraging them to sleep by themselves. You have plenty of parents who are driving around at 2 a.m. to get their babies to sleep. And then it goes right up to older children, 3 or 4 years old, where we need to learn how to negotiate with a 3 and 4 year old. You know, we're often not talking at that point about them not being able to settle at 45 minutes, but what we're asking them to do is want to do that themselves.
What are the key tips for establishing some positive sleep?
The first thing is a wake time and a bedtime. I do that from the very early days because I think it's always good for even a very young baby to have, even if they're not never going to sleep 11, 12 hours at night, but as long as they're in a non-stimulating environment, so they're not downstairs with the TV blaring and it's dark and it's calm. So that makes a real difference. And an awake time every day so that you can roughly get in the same amount of feeds every day. Otherwise, you're always being dictated to by your night, and that's the opposite to what we want to achieve. It doesn't have to be a strict routine, but a loose daytime structure helps. So that might roughly be feed every 3 to 4 hours, or give them roughly 2 hours of awake time, something like that, that you're aiming for.
Is there anything else with the tips? Because you just did the wake-up time.
Yeah, getting your daytime naps right in terms of how many they should have, which I know was maybe a bit of an issue for the baby we're talking about. They were trying to move from 3 naps to 2. It becomes quite important at certain ages to move from 3 to 2 and 2 to 1. I would move from 3 to 2 naps around 6-7 months, and I would move to 1 nap around 12 months. You usually find if they go on much longer than that, that it really affects night sleeps, and even worse, gives you a really early morning wake, which is every parent's worst nightmare. There's nothing like being woken at 5:37 in the morning. You can cope with anything in the 6 region, but 5 o'clock's just not nice.
And what about specific to new parents? What sort of advice would you give them in terms of establishing sleep? Because there's a real kind of, you know, initially you think there's a lot of pressure around routine, and some parents go for the kind of 10-week mark before they start even thinking about routine. Some go from the get-go, you know, then there's the kind of co-sleeping, but we shouldn't be co-sleeping, and then there's the baby in with you. You know, what's the kind of key things that you think as a new parent you should be thinking?
It depends very much on the parent's personality, and I often find that we have parents who are very keen on routine and strict routine, and that works for them. Where if you put a very laid back family and tried to put them in a strict routine, they just wouldn't cope. So for me, it's about learning about when I have clients like this, I try and learn about the family and figure out what they will cope with. Some people like to stick to a minute, but roughly just stick to an hour amount of time where you say, we'll do a feed here, we'll do a feed when baby's ready here. If you can cope better with a strict time, then absolutely go for that. But I would say the majority of parents cope better with a flexible schedule. For young babies, it's helpful if you do night feeds to make the most of them. So many parents just quickly give a quick feed and they've had 3 ounces or a 5-minute breastfeed and you think, oh, I'm exhausted, I'll just put them straight down quickly while they're still asleep. But don't, you know, make the most of it. Give them a good feed, change them, top up the feed again so that they're not going to wake in an hour's time still hungry because they didn't finish the feed.
And do you have to bathe them every night?
I don't say you need to bath them every night. I mean, lots of people think it's a very important part of the day, but so many babies are massively overstimulated by bath time.
Oh, really?
I mean, think of like a 6-7 month old, you know, it's splashing chaos. It's not, you know, it's not a serene, calm experience every time.
Yeah, of course.
So, no, it's not necessary, though you might find it is when you start weaning and you're covered in orange stuff, but... babies tend to get like that, but otherwise, no, it's not important.
Well, thank you so much. And I think, you know, getting baby to sleep and getting the routine in place is good. Now I'm going to go and find out how we can shortcut some sleep techniques for mum.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So seriously, sleep cycles blew my mind. The fact that when you hold your baby and then you put them down and then they wake up, it's really disconcerting to wake up in a place that you didn't fall asleep in. Never thought of that before. And some really interesting stuff there around self-soothing and how you can help that along. Because I think sometimes when you hear about self-soothing, you are made to think, oh, am I supposed to just leave them crying? Is that something that you do? And it's just so painful, isn't it? What definitely seems to be true is that some of this is counterintuitive to us. Our instinct hears the distress, but maybe sometimes that distress is about your baby trying to get to sleep rather than being upset that they're awake, if that makes sense. So I hope you found Abby from Baby Sound Asleep to be really useful. If you want to find out more about what she does, her website is babysoundasleep.co.uk. One thing is absolutely for sure, though. We are all in this together when it comes to sleeping. And your baby could be different to the next baby, to the next baby, to the next baby. So you can hear the stories, you can listen to the tips, but you know what works for your baby. Right then, I couldn't cover the topic of sleep without looking at how sleep affects us as adults. Now, one of the issues that comes with new motherhood is things like anxiety and depression. You probably have noticed yourself, your mind is working in a way that you didn't ever think possible. The reality is you're probably tired. And you know what? We spend all our time with our babies going, oh, they're crying, they're probably tired. And we never, ever give ourselves the same slack. So I wanted to get a sleep expert on the podcast to talk about the impact of lack of sleep and to talk about ways that, you know, the reality is you are in a space where there's a lack of sleep. So how is it that as new mums, we can deal with sleep deprivation in a way that means that we feel human more than we don't feel human?
This Mum Is Podcast with Newbie, keeping parenting real.
He's a sleep expert and he's going to help you with how you can sleep during the day, during the evening, how you can catch up on your sleep. This mum is, well, he's not a mum, Dr. Neil Stanley. Welcome to the podcast.
It's a pleasure.
So why is sleep so important? Let's get this covered.
Well, sleep's important because it's vital for good physical, mental and emotional health. And if you think about it, you know, over a million years of evolution, we still do it. It hasn't got better, quicker, easier. We still sleep the way that our ancestors did. So that just shows how important it is, because if there's a way of subverting it in some way, you know, nature would have found it. It seems a bit strange to spend 8 hours unconscious in bed if we didn't have to do it. So sleep's vital for having a good and healthy life.
And then you go and have a baby, and the baby wakes you up in the night and you don't get much sleep. What's the impact of that sort of sleep deprivation?
Well, I mean, the issue with you know, having a baby is that, you know, the baby doesn't know that mummy and daddy have to go to work the next day. The baby's just doing what it's programmed to do, which is, you know, wake when it needs to wake, when it's hungry, when it's scared, when it's in pain, when it wants to be loved. And that happens whenever the baby wants to. The problem with that, of course, is that it causes sleep deprivation, which in the short term means the next day you're not going to be able to perform as well. You're not going to be as mentally focused. You're going to have more arguments with your partner. We know that people who have poor sleep have less warm feelings towards their partner. It causes anxiety, depression, causes you not to feel that you look good. There's a direct link between between poor sleep and body, you know, poor body self-image. It makes you eat unhealthily. There's a strong link between poor sleep and eating junk food and eating more calories during the day and not eating as many vegetables. Poor sleep means the next day you're four times more likely to catch the common cold and other infections and illnesses going around. And in the long term, you know, these things just become additive. They become more of a problem as you go forward.
So it's no wonder then that we get quite obsessive about how much sleep we're getting, and the aim of the game is obviously getting baby to sleep so that we can sleep.
Well, unfortunately, people believe that. There is this sort of style of competitive parenting, expecting the child to be able to sleep through the night from a very, very early age. And that's just not the way that babies are designed. I always say that you can no more train a baby to go to sleep than you can train a cat to go to sleep on command. Babies, their natural rhythm is to sleep in short periods, short bursts, and then wake up and then go back to sleep and then wake up. And of course, in the past, this was never a problem because women stayed at home and, you know, their job was to be the mother, and therefore they didn't have to go to work. And so, you know, quite often women would sleep at the time that, you know, the child napped during the day. You would nap, the child would nap, and across the 24 hours, you'd both get sufficient sleep. But now that's not the way that people live. And of course, people are trying to change the baby rather than perhaps optimizing what they as an individual can do to fit around the baby rather than trying to get the baby to fit around them.
So can we talk about napping? Because I have mastered my 10-minute nap. I have it down. Tell me about the benefits of napping. Is it genuinely something that helps someone in that sleep-deprived state?
Absolutely. I mean, napping is good. I mean, essentially, if you would get enough sleep during the night, you shouldn't really need to nap. But if that's not happening, then napping is far preferable than drinking, you know, caffeinated beverages like coffee. Mm. You know, the effects of caffeine take 30 minutes to work. It will last 30 minutes maybe, but the effects of the caffeine during the night, there's a lot lower dose of caffeine will affect your sleep and will give you a boost during the day. So although you're not getting a huge boost from the caffeine, it will be additive to you not sleeping at night. But a 20-minute nap will boost your performance by about 20%, and that boost will last 3 to 4 hours. So it's far more preferable for you to get power naps throughout the day. You don't want to sleep too long because then you go into your deep restorative sleep, and that means you wake up and you feel worse than you did when you actually went to the nap. It's finding that restful, calm place in your life where you can get a nap. And I say the benefits of that will be far more beneficial than, say, sort of struggling through it, you know, trying to be heroic about it.
And I think the world of sleep, especially when you've got a baby, the world of sleep becomes a world of shoulds. So the baby should be getting this much sleep. You as an adult should be getting, you know, 7+ hours. I think that's the latest, isn't it? 7+ hours a night sleep. And so it becomes an area that's very easy to fail in. A lot of mums I talk to are often, it's not that the baby's waking up, it's that suddenly they're in the mode of the baby might wake up, so they can't then go back to sleep again. So it's good to know, I think, that the napping is something that, you know, you can spend the next 3 months using to get you through those difficult nights.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, going back to the way you framed that question about should, this is the real problem that we have. There is no should, certainly about a baby's sleep. As I said, babies are born, I mean, if you look at it from a biological point of view, babies are born far, far too early. You know, a cow will give birth, you know, the calf will be licked, and within a minute, the calf is a small cow and does everything that a cow does. Human babies are, when they're born, pretty hopeless, to be honest. And they need this sleep. Sleep is the most important thing you can do for a child. It's about memory, it's about learning, it's about growth. The only time your child grows is during the night when it's asleep. The only time it's laying down memories. And you can imagine for a newborn, every single thing that occurs to it is new and needs to be processed. And so babies, I mean, the rule for a baby is, a newborn, is let it sleep as much and whenever, wherever, however it needs its sleep. So there are no rules. And, you know, the idea that you can get a child, you know, a child should be sleeping through at 6 months, only about 40% of babies do sleep through the night at 6 months. It can take some children 6 years before they develop the skills to sleep through the night. So there shouldn't be that expectation. And then, as I say, so your baby is not failing. I mean, there is this awful idea that, you know, parents boast about, oh yeah, my baby sleeps through the night, somehow as though it's superior to your baby that has failed at the task of sleeping through the night. And that is a terrible pressure to put on both the baby and on the mother and father. It is a terrible thing to do. Children develop at their own rate. You have this idea of sharing the feeds and sharing the baby care at night. So both of you are disturbed both nights. Why not one night mother look after the child, the next night father looks after the child, and on the other, you know, on the opposing night, you go to another room and get a good night's sleep. So at least one night in two, you get an undisturbed night's sleep. You're not responsible. You know that's it. You know, it's your turn to look after the baby.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're both awake now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. we're both knackered all the time. That seems to be a bit of a so there's relatively simple changes that people can make that will help.
Okay, then. So we've covered naps, we've covered the shoulds and the should nots, as in we shouldn't be worrying about the shoulds. We should not be worrying about the shoulds. There we go. So Katrin at the top of the episode was talking about how her baby Mina was waking up every single hour, and she was just at the end of her tether in terms of how she was coping, because she's noticing that it's affecting her mood and all of that. So top tips, if you're in that state, to get on top of your sleep.
Okay, I mean, the first thing you have to remember is that your baby is a force of nature, and you can either stress about changing it and trying to believe that it's, you know, normal, or you can just accept that it's your child. It will, until it's around 6 years old, it's going to do what it wants when it wants in terms of sleep. So reducing the stress and the anxiety about that. The next thing to do is to try and get a routine in your life. The body, both yours and the baby's, loves structure. So make sure that even silly things, make sure that you eat at the right time, the same time each day. That's breakfast, lunch, dinner. Make sure that you eat at those times. Get some sunlight during the day. Go for an early morning walk. Get the sunlight. That will wake you up more than anything else. Nap during the day if you can. And then have a bedtime, have a fixed bedtime, and have a fixed wake-up time. Fixed wake-up time is about the most important change you can make to your sleep. So wake up the same time every day, regardless of how poorly you have slept the night before. Fix that wake-up time, because your body and brain starts waking up about 90 minutes before you actually wake up. And that allows your body and brain to get prepared. So when the alarm goes off, you hit the ground running rather than feeling like death warmed over. So structure is important.
Thank you very much. That's been so useful. And I think, you know, in terms of getting your expert advice, it's been really lovely to just some little things that you can do and some different things you can do. That idea of sleeping separately, that idea of having naps, that idea of setting that routine around food as well, I think has been really valuable. So thank you very much for your time.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
For more on Dr. Neil Stanley, you can find his website, thesleepconsultancy.com, where you'll also find he's written a really good book, actually, called
How to Sleep Well, The Science of Sleeping Smarter, Living Better and Being Productive. Now, let me be clear. I always say this podcast is a should-free zone. When people are giving you advice, it sounds like it's not so much a should-free zone. These are tips and advice from people who know. They aren't tips and advice from people who know your baby. So you do what you need to do. Take from it what you will. All I want to do with this podcast is give you the chance to explore some more options if you like. Now, didn't you love what Dr. Neil Stanley was saying about how lack of sleep can affect your relationship? And I don't know about you, but the arrival of a small baby can have such a huge impact on your relationship. Suddenly, this man that you fell in love with is weird and different. Now, is that because you're tired? Or is that because for some reason, and I don't know why my husband did this, there's an assumption that the baby is all my job. It's not even said out loud. It's just things like, even though Mr. C, I would consider my equal partner and a really lovely guy who loved being a dad and loves taking part in the childcare, when it came to putting the children's clothes away, somehow that was my job. Just the subtleties of being a boy and being a girl, right? So I thought, next episode, why don't I talk to some dads and find out what it is to be a stay-at-home dad? And now with the onset of shared parental leave, what is that like? How does that impact you? And what is it like to be a dad in a mum's world? Join me in the next episode as I go about finding out. In the meantime, I'm going to play this podcast episode to Katrin and baby Mina, and hopefully it'll give them some ideas for what they can do next. And if you have a friend who you think would benefit from this, please let them know about this podcast. This Mum is about making sure that no mum ever feels like they're on their own. So to help us get to as many mums as possible, please go to where you get your podcast from and review the podcast. Give us a little 5-star rating if you like. Wink, wink. This has been the This Mum Is Tired episode of the This Mum Is podcast in partnership with Newbie. And I'll see you in the next episode.
This Mum Is podcast with Newbie. Keeping parenting real.